Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DJS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Wheels, did you just leave the studio and come back with chopsticks?
No, it's a spoon.
Ah, okay.
There you go.
It's a chopstick-looking spoon.
It's got, well, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, for people that can look on the stream, you can see there's holes in the handle, so I can see how you would think that.
Did you get your spoon to eat that sandwich?
To scrape stuff off the sandwich.
Oh, okay.
Not a big mayo guy, so a little mayo's going to come off that sandwich, but the remnants are fine. I don't mind the leftovers. I just don't want a big glob of that nastiness.
I started to say it's cute. It is cute. You're always adorable. But, like, your love of food is endearing.
Yeah.
You love food.
I mean,
you love
look
eat.
At me. Do I not look like I like
food? I mean, beyond that, like, you experience your food.
Sure.
I feel like I'm just like, okay, let me put this hot dog in my face. Like, you really enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not like any kind of gourmet or, you know, anything fancy, but.
You cooked lunch today.
I went all out. I microwaved and then 4 minutes baked bagel dogs for the crew.
And it still wasn't fast enough for Andrew.
He's like, what's going on over there in the kitchen?
So he goes, buzzer went off, time for the food. And then he goes in there and then he comes back and he's like standing over his laptop typing furiously like he's inputting the nuclear codes.
I was.
And that went on for like a while. So
yeah,
I was like
90 seconds.
Hey, what's the...
Because they weren't done yet.
What's the plan?
They weren't done yet.
Well, Andrew has a history of eating not done hot dogs.
Yeah, the hot dogs are cooked. It's
Let me ask you, though. When you got it and you got it, was it not great? Was it not perfect?
It was great. It was maybe a little too hot even. So, you know.
Well, it would have been the same heat like 90 seconds before.
We'll have to ask Trish about this tomorrow. She'll be on for the the anniversary show. She makes a claim to make the best frozen pizzas.
Oh,
of
okay.
Anyone.
Okay.
So,
a lot of those things have good techniques, you know, mm-hmm. Like sometimes the kind of microwaving something first and then throwing it in the oven can speed up the process.
Yeah.
Other times you can't mess with it because it'll just ruin it. Very different. I got a lot of tricks.
I don't think I have any tricks.
Hmm.
Pretty straightforward, kind of thing.
Well, you don't like leftovers, so you got to get tricky with leftovers.
Yeah, see, I don't need them.
Yeah.
I don't need them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a character flaw. Cost me money. What am I going to do?
Order smaller dishes?
Yeah, I guess. Oh, hey, something that came across my desk for all of my people out there who, like me, are worried about Alzheimer's because it's in your family, or maybe you took the test that I did and found out you have the genetic marker. Vitamin B2, which is riboflavin, which I have trouble saying without saying it like Professor Frink from
Riboflavin?
Riboflavin. So, yeah, that's supposed to help stave off dementia.
Nice.
So, go on Amazon, order it.
I think you're buying some cereal.
Cereal?
It's always in there. I don't know. When you're a kid, you sit there and sit there and you read the ingredients. You don't know what anything is.
That's so funny. My whole life, childhood at least, morning breakfast was spent reading the side of a Raisin Bran box.
The same box every day.
Same box every day. And I swear to God, when I was a kid, going to the bathroom, like pooping, I would just read shampoo bottles.
Oh.
I mean, what else are you going to read? When you're a kid, you don't have magazines.
No.
No internet.
We had no phones.
No phones.
Well, we had phones, but...
Can't just stare at the sink.
It'd be a little weird if you took the wall phone into the bathroom with you. Call your buddy.
I went to a rich friend's house when I was a kid, and they had a phone in the bathroom.
Well.
And a sunken living room.
Okay. Sunken living room. Yeah. Phone in the bathroom's a lot.
Yeah. Phone in the bathroom's nasty.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to put my mouth on.
Why are you putting your mouth on a phone?
Because that's how you talk into it.
Okay.
Well, your hands are going to be dirty pretty much every time you're touching that phone.
Yeah.
I guess I'm the only one who's like, put a phone in my bathroom. I don't care.
Well. If you're not closing the lid and stuff when you're flushing and your toothbrush is out, that's all getting on your toothbrush anyway.
I know you're big on that.
I mean, it doesn't change my world. It's just I know it's real. It's toilet plume.
Let's talk a little bit of AI at the start of the show. An Ohio lawmaker has proposed a law, I can't believe it's the first one, to make it illegal for humans to marry AI.
No.
How would it... I'm wondering how it would have ever been legal, because... I'm wondering why you would want to marry AI, other than like the emotional level of like this, I genuinely believe that this AI entity is my girlfriend, but like legally, that's not really getting you anything. You're not going to be able to like, they're not going to
leave
be
her
like,
your money.
They yeah, don't need, they like, don't need medical yes, coverage.
You can each other in the hospital, stuff like that.
You can have a marriage ceremony between you and a chair. And you can say, I'm in love with this chair. We see that story once a year. There's the, this woman fell in love with a shelf.
And didn't some guy marry his car or something like that?
Yeah, but that's not a legal marriage. You're right, not marriage it's is not symbolic. Recognized by the state of Nevada or whatever.
Right.
That's just you saying, I'm married to the cow now or whatever.
I don't understand why it needs to be illegal. I mean, I don't think it should ever happen. It's stupid, but like, well, you do that, in what way is it harming your fellow citizen?
Well, if you do make it legal, then we may enter into a situation, if I'm not correct, where we now have AI owning things. Mm. AI owns, this house is owned by AI.
AI doesn't have money.
I think why it needs to be illegal.
But eventually, probably sooner than we think, they will put AI into an object. And the more that object looks like a human, like all of our science fiction movies, our whole life, it becomes more and more, not credible, but more and more of a problem, I would think.
Okay, so this legislation would declare AI systems as non-sentient entities and ban them from gaining legal personhood, meaning AI could not own or control real estate, intellectual property, or financial accounts, and it would ban AI from serving in management, director, or officer roles in company.
Well, that all sounds fine.
So then what happens when scientists say it has officially reached sentience?
Too bad.
I mean, cross that bridge if we ever come to it.
I think it's going to happen soon.
I don't think it's going to happen.
But see, here's the really difficult part about it. How do you prove that?
I don't know. Above my pay grade.
Again, we are that, and we know it because we've all as a species grown and evolved together, right? That's we know it. We all know the same thing because we are all the same thing. But how do you take any other being and prove that it is sentient versus just parroting what needs to be said?
The only thing I know is the Turing test, which it has passed.
Right, but I mean...
But that just means you were able to trick a human,
amongst,
right?
Yeah, but also amongst the things that are in that Turing test, those are things that an AI could learn and learn how to answer correctly to pass. Right? Uh-huh. I mean, because of all the... If it's got access to all the world's knowledge...
All
if
I know,
it could search and say, how do I pass the Turing test? And you can just do it.
All I know is that the guys who created it, who are way smarter than me, are saying this is an inevitability, that it reaches sentience.
I don't disagree with that. I'm asking, how do you prove it?
Yeah, don't know.
Because, again, what their knowledge is comes from essentially a connection to the internet, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you're plugged into the world's library, essentially. So if you're going to have to pass this test, the Turing test, well, that AI will be able to, in microseconds, search what that is, search what the people that are asking the questions are looking to hear to find out if you're sentient, and can give you that because it has the world's knowledge at its fingertips. Like, I don't know how you can prove it. Yeah, and we don't have to prove it as humans because we all know that we're human. We know each other, we know ourselves, and we know that all the rest of us are versions of that.
That would be part of the proof, though, right? The ability to disconnect it from the internet and it still be able to offer things that, to be clear, it currently cannot, like critical thinking skills and fast recall of prior knowledge.
But it's only going to have any of those things because it was at one point connected to the internet. Hmm. It was at one point. So, I mean, again, if I read an article about how to pass a lie detector test, and I know exactly what to do. I know exactly how to clench muscles. I know exactly how to what words to use and what express. There are humans that can do that. It doesn't mean they're not lying. And that's why those things aren't admissible in court. So even though it's called a lie detector test and maybe it's largely reliable, it can be beaten if you know how to do it.
You know how they say that with simulation theory, that are we in a simulation? And they talk about that if our technology continues to grow, even at a lesser pace than what it is now, future generations will have the technology to have created all of this, blah, blah, blah. And what the word is indistinguishable, that if a simulation is indistinguishable from reality, then what's the difference? So my question would be, and I'm not trying to be obstinate about this, just like it's a real question. If AI at some point becomes indistinguishable from a sentient being, what's the difference? Like you're saying, like, how do you prove it? What if you can't disprove it?
Well, but the burden of proof is on the claim.
Well,
if you're going to claim something, then you have
to
prove it.
But like in practical, you know, like let's say that AI starts acting sentiently. Yeah.
Well, we were talking about the legal ramifications, though. That's why I'm looking at it that way. Because, then it's at that point, it's just up to every person's interpretation. And you'll probably have a divide, just like we have a divide on all kinds of other issues. You'll have people that'll be the, you know, the never AIs. And then you'll have people that are like, no, AI are humans, too. And it's going to be the same kind of thing that we've dealt with pretty much everything else. But we have to set the legal standard, because with the legal standard, if you're going to make the claim that that an AI, whatever, whether it's stored in a computer or on a cloud or in a body, if you're going to make the claim that it is sentient, then you have to be able to prove that. And maybe I'm just not smart enough to know exactly how you could prove that.
And that's my big problem.
Yeah.
Is that none of us are smart enough to know.
No, but I mean, again, we understand what proof is. Proof is verifying that this exists. How do you do it when it's very easy for something with access to that much information and knowledge to just find out what it takes to pass the test? Mm. I mean, give me the answers to a test before a test. I'll pass it.
Again, though, that's not proof that it's not sentient.
No, I agree. Right. But the problem is because you can't prove a negative. You cannot prove that something isn't something necessarily, especially something that's not physical. Like I can look at my phone and say my phone's not a car. Okay, well, it's not a car. You can look at it. But and it's with something that's not visible or like the, you know, what's that? What's the old scientific thing? If absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Like I understand all of that. But again, the burden of proof will be on the person making the claim that this entity is sentient.
Two quick AI stories. Our highest ranking general in Korea says that he has been using AI constantly for battle troop movements and things like that. And it's a big story. I'm not sure whether that's against, you know, military code or why, right. Why that's a story, but yes. And then another guy who has access to our nuclear secrets, a federal employee, was found with AI robot porn on his government computer and has been fired and no longer has access to nuclear secrets.
Well, probably a good thing there.
Probably a good thing. I think we can all agree about that.
I mean, first of all, just without judging anything else, because I don't have any other information, you're using your work computer for that. You failed the idiot test.
Yeah.
You failed the idiot test.
Agreed.
You lose.
Feels like we should do a little more diligence, right? We shouldn't give all the nuclear secrets to the guy who fails.
Yeah.
Who fails the idiot test.
Yeah, you always hear like, oh my gosh, they talked to my kindergarten teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently ChatGPT-5 has been found to generate false information on basic facts over half the time.
Yee.
So I would just encourage this general in Korea to just take that into account when you're making extremely important decisions.
I don't know this, but what if the military has its own AI? Something DARPA cooked up?
He said specifically, I'm using ChatGPT.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh, that's too.
Which
that's,
I don't even
that's
know why
ridiculous.
You would
admit that. No, that's ridiculous.
You probably saw this. It was on the front page of Drudge, I think starting yesterday, that Sam Altman came out and said, ChatGPT will sext with you.
Yes.
Do you know why? Is it just another product?
So originally they had not made that an option because I guess just out of an abundance of caution. But now they're opening it up to, like, yes, if you initiate that kind of conversation with ChatGPT, we are allowing smut now. They obviously, like, they're not going to allow that to happen if you're a certain age or you're trying to get ChatGPT to act like it's a certain age. Like, everyone has to be 18 and above. But this is something that people really want to use ChatGPT for. The several articles I've read about it have cited these ChatGPT message boards of users complaining, like, you said we were going to be able to do this, and you haven't let us do it yet. And then that means, like, generating explicit images and such,
oh,
too.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, that should end well.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine.
That should go well. We are spirits in the material. Welcome back, DGS and Camo X, 124.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With all due respect, my friends, Judas Priest, I do not like Living After Midnight.
What?
I've realized, yeah, I'm the opposite
song
of
or Living After Midnight?
Love the song.
Okay,
So, I'll play it for you on Black Friday if you happen to be there.
Well,
we'll play it for you.
If I'm in town, I'll join you to play the cowbell.
If I'm up after midnight, I'm unhappy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Dave.
Something's gone wrong.
There have been a handful of nights in 2025 that I have stayed up past midnight, and every time I'm like, oh, no.
I know.
I need to go to sleep.
Yeah.
This is not good.
Isn't that wild?
I think part of it is just my natural makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
More of a morning guy, yeah. Early to bed guy.
But we've shown there's a genetic component to that.
Yeah, but yeah. Also, my mom and dad, I'm sure like most mom and dad, certainly from my era, were so aggressive about rules that you just felt like it was something like natural, you know, like they were so absolutely freaked out about my bedtime. My sister and brother told me that when I was little, but you know, I should have a bedtime of like 7 or 8 p.m. They'd put me to bed like when the sun was still out. So I think I come by my weirdness naturally. But yeah, I feel like I'm doing something wrong. If I'm up that late.
If you're up that late, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
And usually I am.
So. Yeah. I mean, my dad especially, but my mom too, but much more my dad. He never has used an alarm clock in his life. He does not have one. He's never used one to get up for work. He just wakes up. And he was always up before, and he did not get the whole forever. He did not understand, why are you always asleep? I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just wired. I'm up at night. I'm awake.
Phoebe's one of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it started like I started being able to kind of get into that in college.
Yeah.
Like that start, but it also was maybe it's, you know, look, I'm playing college baseball. You're playing a 7 o'clock game on, you know, any given night and you're done at 10:30 and you're home at 11:30 and you're hungry. Now you're going to eat and now you're up. I mean, it could just be there's a natural component to it, but it was also a habit built during those years.
Yeah. Yeah, I told Fee, she doesn't want to be a nurse, but I said, you should be a nurse and then do midnights and you can just write your own ticket.
Dude, I got to tell you, overnights are not the worst. They're not. I did them on radio. It was pretty great.
Also, I used to be way more of a night owl when I was around Phoebe's age, and it has turned for me. So, I mean,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, true. I did. I used to work midnights when I was 16 years old at Mr. Donut. So I'd work 10 p.m. to 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday night, which it's just wrong. You shouldn't do that. That didn't bother my mom and dad when I stayed up late to make money. But like, I remember sort of oddly enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like being awake and up and out at 3 or 4 in the morning. It's like life feels different.
Yeah.
I still feel that way if I have to get up especially early. I feel like I'm really like I'm taking advantage of the system somehow.
So it's like when you do it, you're like you're a kid getting away with staying up for Johnny Carson.
Yeah, kind of. 133 DGS. I'm mad at Renewal by Anderson Windows.
What is that?
I came home last night, got my hands full of stuff, and on my front door someone has put a sticker that looks like the kind of thing that, like, we tried to deliver you something and blah, blah, blah. And you have to remember, I'm from South Roxana, right? I'm just waiting to get sued. I'm looking out for the revenuers. Like, I'm hick. And so I, for like 20 seconds, I'm walking up there. I'm like, it's gonna be terrible.
This is the end.
Yeah, like whatever it is, it's bad. And then it was like, hey, we came by to tell you about our windows, but you, and I'm like, oh, I'm so mad at you right now.
Hey, ever heard of Universal Windows Direct?
Thank
first
you.
First of all,
sticking stuff get in your damn here. Door.
Yeah, they would never do that as far as I know.
You have any weird fears like that?
Yeah, I hate people knocking on the door.
I think we all do at this point.
Fills me with an insane amount of anxiety whenever there's a knock.
Maniscalco has a great bit on this, so I'm not trying to rip it off and pretend it's mine, but he talks about when we were kids, when someone knocked on the door, it was like, well, fiddly dee.
An adventure.
It was an adventure. Your mom broke out the Sara Lee cake, and like your neighbors are here, or your cousin's from Benton, Illinois, and now you just like hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true.
Except Rachel. Rachel thought Rachel isn't scared of that.
No, it was just funny the way you said, like, I'm terrible. I don't know exactly what you said, but it was like, of all the things I thought you were going to say.
No, I'm terrified of it. Like, for some reason, nothing fills me with more anxiety and dread than a knock on the door. I don't know why. It happens all the time. I did not know door knocking was still a thing, but anytime that I'm, like, home from work because it's a holiday or because they take a day off or whatever, I will get 3 or 4 knocks on the door from, like, people, like, door-to-door, you know, holding a clipboard, wanting to sell me solar energy or whatever. I had no idea that was still such a thing.
That seems like a dangerous job. People get shot.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but we have several cases, typically at night, but when people are drunk and they go to the wrong door and end up getting shot, I mean, I wouldn't be knocking on people's doors.
Yeah. I don't love it. Plus, how successful is it even at this point? Like, it feels like it would be the law of diminishing returns would make it not worth it because, not what would you say, Dave? Probably at least half of people don't even answer the door if they're home. So that's only counting the ones that are home. So if you figure 1 out of every 3 is probably not home, and then half of the other ones aren't answering, and how many of those other people are actually going to buy what you're selling? Like, you feel like you're wasting time.
I mean, it feels like you'd have to knock on a couple hundred doors before to get like you got two any interest.
People, yeah.
I mean, it's always the most confident people in the world. It's always like
people who are okay with awkwardness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always like 20-year-old frat guys, and then I crack the door open and I'm like, go away, leave. And they're like, no, bro, you're not even going to talk to me? And I'm like, no, get out of here.
You know,
and then they prank me on the way back because they run up on my porch and they bang on the door really, really hard. And then I see them like running down the street.
You know me, I'm overly nice to everyone. Out of my mental illness, not because I'm just such a great guy. And it was some exteriors kid with a clipboard back during the summer. And he's like, hey, I noticed by looking at your fascia that la la la. And I'm like, yeah, not interested. Thank you, though. Good luck. And he just kept going. And he's like, well, you know, and it was my mistake. I'm like, dude, I have a client who does this and I would use them. And he's like, oh, what do you do? And I said to him, and it, like, this is going to sound so benign, but to me it was like kicking him in the face. I go, I'm sorry I can't have this conversation with you right now, and shut the door. And I stewed for an hour because I had made some random 18-year-old feel bad.
I don't think you even
I don't think even, yeah, I was going to say, I don't even think you made him feel bad. He probably was just like, well, next house.
Yeah, yeah, he did not care in the slightest.
Is there anything someone could be selling door to door that would get any of you excited, prone to buy
Girl Scout cookies?
Yeah, I would do charity.
Yeah, when it's a little kid, I usually, yeah, you're selling a candy bar? Sure, here, I'll take a candy bar. And although now, after my experience with the popcorn at the grocery store.
The $30 popcorn.
$30!
Yeah, you better get that wallet.
Boy Scouts make
Mark.
Crap popcorn.
What I ate was fine. It was kettle corn. It was good, but like,
it's no better than any other.
No, it was fine. That's what I'm saying. It's fine, but it's like, it was 2 servings and it was $30.
I saw that little girl in my neighborhood. I almost got arrested over. The one
who
knocked on my door.
Oh, the one who was like, come outside.
The one you took back to her house.
Yes. Yes.
You're like,
hey, follow me home.
Your child is wandering.
She takes off on her scooter, and I'm like low-key jogging after her.
Like, are you okay?
Waving to neighbors. Hey, I'm pursuing a four-year-old. She came to my door and asked me to play.
Oh, man.
And then when I, like, I felt so stupid when I got to her house, and the door was open, and I could see her mom in there. And like a 50-year-old, the little girl says to me, let me handle this.
I'll take care of it.
She knew what kind of smoke she was going
to
get.
She hates when I do this. So it's better to just let me take the blame.
She's a freak. Just
so
let me talk to her.
She goes inside her house, and I'm standing on the stairs thinking, what is she telling her mom right now?
Standing on the stairs like, can I come in or what? She said I should come in and play.
And her mom's like, oh, she does it all the time.
She's got a, I mean, no disrespect if you're listening, ma'am. You got to lock that down.
Yeah, you really do.
You gotta take care of that. You gotta teach them. There's some hard lessons to be learned here.
I'm gonna pull a Kevin Wheeler and tell you about a dream I had right before I got up this morning. It was a plane crash dream.
Oh,
and I was in a plane by myself. There were other people. I wasn't traveling with any of my family. And suddenly there was smoke in the cabin. Isn't that so specific? You go to bed at night, and then your brain makes that up. And I was texting my family to tell them, I think I'm going to crash, and I love you. And you ever have these frustration dreams? I couldn't make my phone work. And then and I was like, whenever I have plane dreams, I'm always flying very close to the ground, which is weird. And we were going through trees and stuff, and I don't remember crashing or not crashing. But
man, I hate frustration dreams like that, though.
Yeah.
I have them all the time. I had one last night where it was like, it was something stupid too. It was like, I got to get ready for tennis this morning, but I'm just so late and things are tripping me up and nothing's working. And suddenly I'm like 40 minutes late and it just feels so out of control.
Yeah.
Those are the ones you wake up mad.
Yes.
Like, argh.
I haven't had one in a long time, but my radio nightmare is typically we're doing a show live. And I have wandered off, and I can't get back. Like, I can see you guys. It's always in a mall.
Yeah.
I can see you guys all set up, and I'm like, pardon me, pardon me. And I can't get back to the microphones.
Yeah. You know, there's one thing I'm scared of. Dreams. If I think too much about them, they really scare me.
The concept or your actual dreams?
The concept. The idea that I'm about to fall into a place.
I have no control.
Where I have no control over, and I have no idea what I'm going to be shown or how I'm going to react to it. How long I'm going to live in this space.
But you're the one doing it and creating it.
By what? Falling asleep?
Your subconscious is doing it. It's you doing it. It's not some outside power.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
What if someone knocked on the door during a dream?
Wow, and that's even scarier.
That'd be like a crazy nightmare, man.
That's even scarier because that means it's nighttime.
Here's another topic.
Someone's banging on my door.
Similar to this. There's something I do when I get home at night that is so easy. You're going to laugh at me, and I dread it. I hate it.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if you guys have tiny little things like this. I wear Timberlands. I love my Tims. When I get home and I have to take them off, I'm like, oh, here we friggin' go.
No, I am with you, Dave.
You feel me?
Well, because I wear Doc Martens a lot during the winter, and similar to the Tims, you have to lace them up tightly.
Thank you.
And it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So I feel ya.
And as I'm doing it, I'm thinking, there's something wrong with you. You're taking your shoes off.
You're just electing to not remove your shoes rather than
put them up on the kitchen table.
Taking a bath with like your legs dangling over
Walk
the side.
Walk around wearing nothing but a shirt and my Timberlands. That's a look. Wheels, anything like that? It's so easy, but it annoys you.
I mean, I pretty much hate everything, every little task I have to do. I hate taking out the garbage. I hate, you know, whatever. I hate all that stuff.
What's your worst? What do you dread, like, on a weekly basis?
Well, it used to be the lawn, but now I just pay somebody to do it, so I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Easy to solve, right?
I hate doing the lawn. I hate it. I hate the edging. I hate all of it. I don't mind the work. I don't mind, like, physical work. I just don't like doing that. Maybe, you know, I've always had allergies too, so then I always have like an allergy attack at the end of it and all that, which is not dangerous or anything. It's just annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a fan of any of those things, but I'm okay with taking off my shoes.
Andrew?
Yeah, I'm good to take off shoes. That doesn't bother me much.
What does bother you?
Don't bother me much. Everything.
Dreams, sleeping.
Yeah, literally all...
Door knocking.
All minor tasks are worthy from me.
Yeah, there are a couple I don't... Like, for example, if you, I don't know if you count it as a task. I don't mind cooking. That's fine with me. I'm good with it. I enjoy it. It's cool.
I ordered trash bags. I'm a little OCD about this. I use the white, hefty, 30-ounce, whatever, drawstring. The kind
30
of
gallon, I'm guessing.
Gallon. What'd I say?
Ounce.
What'd I say?
30-ounce.
30-ounce.
30-ounce garbage bags.
They're tiny
your,
little things.
Your garbage bags like
I
this
put them
big.
In my pocket.
Pocket garbage.
But the kind that like wrap around, you know, and they cling.
Yeah.
And they're scented. Oh. And I ordered those from DoorDash last night, and they brought me green, hefty, no accoutrement.
Oh, just like the plain old like yard bags?
And here's what sucks about it.
Ugh.
Here's what sucks about it. You know I'm loose with my money. It was only like $8. But a little bit of Jack Glover made it to me where I'm like, well, I have to use these. What am I going to throw out trash bags? It's like a double negative.
Yeah.
It's got to be in the Bible somewhere.
Yeah.
But they last forever.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
So I got that against me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you'll be fine with it. If you're too big, you just twist it and fold it over and it'll stay on there.
Has there ever been a less helpful thing that someone can say to you than, you'll be fine?
He's big on that.
He is, and it's never been helpful once.
But you can be. You can rig anything if you have to, if it doesn't fit right.
What did you do to me the other day?
I can't remember.
You did that to me, and I told you about it, Rach. I'm like, friggin' Wheeler, he's such a...
I think it was over text.
It was a baseball glove thing.
That's what it was. And
you didn't have a hole for the finger in your new glove.
Yeah. So,
and Wheels was like, you'll get used to it.
I got a new glove.
Yeah.
I got a new glove. And there's like, you know, you look at a baseball glove, the back of it, you can either see the back of your hand or your pointer finger.
Yeah.
This one has nothing. Okay. It's just the glove.
It's closed. Yeah.
It's closed.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was fishing. Not for a compliment, because any idiot can buy a baseball glove, but I was fishing for my baseball buddy to go like, dude, that's so cool. And, you know, like, to give me something.
I did say that about the glove.
But then, and he just goes, I sent this really long text, way too long,
this.
And he says, you'll get used to it.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. GTS on KMOX. Jessica Cook is the poobah over at Yuppie Puppy. Maureen, you worked there for a few years and still involved with their gala and stuff. Fourth annual Yuppie Puppy Forever Gala is coming up, and Jessica joins us now. Hello, Jessica. How are you?
Hello. How are you? I've never been called a poobah. I like it.
Yeah, there you go. You should change that. Yeah, put it on your business cards.
Yes.
So, Jessica, let's go all the way back, because this is such a great story. Like, before you were the poobah, what got you into this? Like, what was it in your heart or your experience that that caused you to do this for dogs?
Yeah, I think I was like so many little girls who love animals and, you know, wanted to do something. And I actually had never heard of a grooming salon and got a job bathing dogs when I was 14. And the rest is history. I fell in love with grooming and was able to apprentice under some master groomers and did that my whole career and still groomed to this day. I love it.
And what does Yuppie Puppy do? The money that we're going to raise, what does that go to?
Yeah. So, well, Yuppie Puppy, the business, we do boarding, grooming, daycare, hotel. And then in 2019, we formed a nonprofit separate from the business called Yuppie Puppies Forever that rehomes dogs who were so loved but their owners are passed away or terminally ill, because we were experiencing that as we had so many clients over the years. So our gala we have once a year. It's November 8th at Whitmore Country Club. It's a fantastic venue. Open bar, Monica Adams MC, we have Friction Drive Band, sit down dinner, so many great items, and all the funds that evening go to vet care for our dogs that sets the budget for the next year.
That's awesome. That's great. So people, of course, can come to the gala. I hosted it one year. It's really cool. It's really fun. These guys work really, really hard at it to make sure you have a good time. How else can people help out Yuppie Puppy Forever?
Yeah, so donate, adopt, advocate, all those things. So our Facebook is really great, has some resources and our email on there to reach out. But yeah, it's an ongoing thing, so we need support throughout the year as well.
So Maureen tells me you're living with a bunch of animals now out on the farm?
Yes, I have. So now I start my day with animals and end my day with animals, and I love it. Yes, what? I have everything you could think of, pretty much.
And what is it, the alpacas that...
Yep, the alpacas. I have three of them. I call them the mean girls because they like to spit and kick, but they make some great socks for me. So
that's awesome. That is awesome. Jessica, is there a website or a Facebook or something to go to for people to get more information?
Yeah, so Yuppie Puppies Forever is our Facebook. YuppiePuppiesSpa.com is the website. Or give us a call, 625-0030.
Awesome. Good luck. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you. And hey, congratulations on 25 years.
Thank you. Very sweet of you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good day.
You too. Yeah, so tomorrow is our 25th anniversary, mine and 97.1. We've invited Mark Cox to be on tomorrow so that we can do the crossover, and because it's, you know, it's their anniversary too. It all started on October 16th of 2000. We're going to be bringing in Tom Turbrock and Katie Cruz and Mark Close, and Skip's going to come by, and Wiggins is going to stop by, and I think Nick's going to be here. We've invited Phoebe to call, but I don't think she's up yet, so.
We'll see.
I mean, it would be, what, so Thursday's one of the big nights for college partying, right?
It was for me.
Yeah, it was for us, too. Thursday was always the first night of the weekend.
Yeah.
Unless you had a 9 a.m. class.
The real parties are happening 3 p.m. on Thursdays. Sorry, I'm busy.
Yeah, that's the only thing in college I remember when scheduling my classes. And I wasn't a big partier.
Right.
But just no Friday classes.
You don't want to get, or you don't want to get them in the morning if you can avoid it.
Yeah.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.